Well, let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
Yes, it was all Green Bay Packers. Just how we like a Packers-Bears game at Lambeau Field, 41-25, the final score, the game ending just minutes ago, the 100th win for the Packers in this rivalry. We are two schlitz of the wind here on the APC Podcast Rapid Reaction Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for downloading. I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter. Follow the show at the APC Pod. And I am happy to be joined tonight, late into the evening, by my good buddy, John Meerdink. How are you, man?
Very good to be here. I'm doing pretty well. It's a late night here in Ohio, but I can't complain.
You know, the last time we did this, I made a joke about beat writers who complain about having to do stuff late at night. I don't know. The older I get, I'm getting more sympathy for it because I'm fading fast. I mean, you're on East Coast time. It's only 10 p.m. for me here on Mountain Time, and I'm about ready for bed.
It is a late night, but it's not the worst thing in the world either. It's kind of a fun thing to do just a couple times a year.
Well, and what a game to sort of keep us excited, keep the juices flowing. The Packers, you know, badly needed a get-right game. And enter one Mitchell Trubisky, the gift that keeps on giving. Trubisky throwing two picks, fumbling once. John, how is this for a cap to your Thanksgiving weekend?
I have no complaints at all. I mean, neither of those interceptions by Darnell Savage were particularly, you know, impressive or exciting, but they're also kind of weird in the way that you have to be like an elite Uber level athlete to even be in the ballpark of making those plays.
Sure.
It was really cool to see. And Mitch Trubisky, just every time the Packers play, it seems like he finds a new way to be mystifyingly bad. Yeah. Like it almost seems like an act on occasion. Like is he doing this on purpose? Is this a bit? No, he's just trying his best, I guess.
Speaking of doing it on purpose, so this is a huge digression and we're only like 4 minutes into the show. But for the first time this year, I got to tune into the broadcast in time to hear the Sunday Night Football song. It gets worse every year, and it feels like they're doing it on purpose. I don't know. It's like purposefully bad. I don't know if you have an opinion on that.
I must have just missed it because I thought, like you, I was going to tune in time to see the song. And I tuned in about 8:12 local time, and I apparently had missed it. I missed it so badly that I only saw like one stinger of it during the broadcast. And I thought, oh, maybe they didn't do a song this year because of the pandemic. I just assumed that the pandemic has ruined everything. so they just didn't do it for some reason. Who knows? But no, I guess it's back and worse in a new and different way this year.
Back and worse than ever. Stinger. That's some nice industry jargo.
Oh, yeah. For you.
No, it gets worse every year. They're cramming all kinds of syllables in there. It doesn't make any sense. But anyway, let's talk about football. Aaron Rodgers having himself a game, becoming the 11th player in NFL history to pass 50,000 passing yards, spreading the ball around, finding seven different pass catchers tonight. He tried to play it down in the postgame interview like those are just old man stats. I don't know. I think it's kind of cool.
I think it's pretty cool, too. I mean, it's not something you see every day. 50,000 yards is a lot, even in the modern NFL, and it says something about longevity. You have to be around for a long time to get to 50,000 yards. So even if, you know, some of it is just a product of the version of the NFL that he plays in now, you still got to complete all the passes, and he's completed a heck of a lot of them.
Couldn't agree more. The offensive line I wanted to hit on really quickly, because Corey Linsley goes down at the center position, and Elgton Jenkins steps in, 30 pass blocking snaps, zero pressures. This guy is just a blessing, really, if I could be so bold.
Yeah, I don't think you're underselling it at all. When we did our midseason awards for Acme Packing Company, he was my offensive player of the year, not because he's overwhelmingly good, even though he is at his primary position of left guard, but he just does so many things for the offense. Just he can step in anywhere they need him at the drop of a hat and just be a starting caliber lineman at any position on the line. It's amazing. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, it really is remarkable. And it was interesting. He comes into the game and Matt LaFleur right away tests running up the middle with, I think, Jones, just to see, like, can we still do it with Jenkins in there? And it worked like a charm, and they kept doing it all game long. But I think that also says something about the absence of Akeem Hicks, and I wonder if this is a little bit of a different ball game if he's in there.
Yeah, not that I would ever go out of my way to feel bad for a Bears fan or player or anything to do with their organization, but you could just see him like aching on the sideline, like, oh, I want to be out there watching those runs go up the middle. And I almost felt bad for him just for a second, because I'd respect him as a competitor. He wants to be out there doing his job, but the Packers clearly had no fear of the middle of the Bears defense, and they did some really creative things. Tony Dungy, for his faults in the booth, you know, had an interesting little segment, I think, late in the third quarter about the different things that the Packers were doing with their offensive line to keep the Bears linebackers off guard. And it worked. Whatever they were doing running up the middle worked. And certainly not having Akeem Hicks in there helped the Packers a lot, but they did a lot of good things on their own as well.
Yep. Yep. You said Tony Dungy, for, I guess, for better or for worse. I thought that he did a good job in the booth. I don't know. I liked the Mike Tirico, Tony Dungy booth. This is not hard hitting football analysis, but I know that you like to talk about commentators.
He was better than I thought he was going to be. I've heard him just in passing, I think on a couple Notre Dame broadcasts, I want to say, just a Saturday afternoon college slate for NBC. And he's been fair to Midland, I would say, but I thought he was pretty solid tonight. A couple times he almost sounded like pre-recorded, like just generic, like stuff that you'd expect in a Madden game, like just some generic 3rd-and-8 conversion or 3rd-and-8 play. And what they're really looking to do here is get to the sticks and just see what happens, you know, just kind of stuff like that. But like, other than that, you know, he was solid. He didn't get in his own way like Greg Jennings does on occasion, but he was pretty good.
That reminds me of an old Simpsons episode where they had an Al Gore doll with like a pull string, and he pulled the string and it was just Al Gore saying, "You are hearing me talk."
He does have a little bit of that vibe sometimes, but that's just, I think that's the Tony Dungy experience too. Yeah. He just is that kind of guy.
That's who he is through and through. Mike Tirico though. I really like Mike. I don't know.
I like Mike Tirico a lot. I think as far as play-by-play guys, he's right up there with the best in the business. Yeah. For some reason, he doesn't get the same, like the correction on Joe Buck has just been something to watch. He went from being kind of a little bit of a pariah to, as soon as he got in on the joke, it, like, he's like sacrosanct now. Nobody can make fun of him. Tirico's never had the same kind of image buffing, it seems like, as like a Joe Buck or an Al Michaels. At least not yet.
Yeah, no, he's just been consistently very good at his job, and very likable too.
He's really good on the radio too, like just as a radio host, and I think that really helps him in the booth, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get back to football, I guess. Talking about the Packers defense showed up, I guess, in a big way here today. Although, as you mentioned, every time the Packers play Mitch Trubisky, he finds new mystifying ways to be bad at football. What are we to take away from this defensive performance, if anything at all?
You can poke at it a little bit for, you know, surrendering a couple scores late, but I don't know if there's anything that you really want to shake a stick at here. Nothing really to find fault with. I was surprised looking at the Bears stats that there was nobody who had a career best day. I was expecting even like Darnell Mooney. Like, he made a couple plays and I expected to go to his Pro Football Reference play or page and find that, you know, his he had a career high or something like that. But no, they didn't even give up a career day to some random third or fourth string receiver. I don't really have any complaints.
Yeah, I thought the combination of and they highlighted it a little bit, the combination of Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary on the outside, and then Za'Darius Smith wiggling on the inside with Kenny Clark in there. I thought that that was a really formidable front, and they did a good job getting to Trubisky and rattling his cage.
It seemed like this is a better role for Preston Smith, not having to be one of the two primary guys on the outside, being able to come in and be a little bit more strategic. When he knows exactly what he has to do, it seems like he did a pretty good job at it. When he knew he had to get after the passer, he was able to do that. When he knew that he was in a run situation on a third and short or whatever, he snuffed down a couple read option type plays. I think he played probably his best game of the season. Now, that's not saying a whole lot, but it was a good effort.
Yeah, and you mentioned Darnell Savage and those two interceptions. We can't take away from him the fact that they happened, I guess, is my observation.
They certainly did.
They occurred.
Trubisky gives and Trubisky takes away, and he was giving a lot to the Packers defense today.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's funny. We've only gone about 15 minutes here, but I'm running out of notes because this was one of those games, and it happened a few times earlier in the year where I kind of try to take thorough notes throughout the game and keep a little bit of a log, but we got about halfway through the second quarter and I just thought I don't need to take any more notes. This is going to be a blowout, and the Bears made it a little bit interesting, but ultimately it was a blowout. And I was texting with some friends before the game, and I said that this game had two possible outcomes. It was either going to be 14-13 or it was going to be something like 39-16. And I guess I was a bit too conservative in my mark there.
I did not expect, what is it, 66 total points in this game? Here's something you might be able to take away from this game. If you're looking for the get right game, we've talked about Preston Smith. We've talked about Darnell Savage. How about Equanimeous St. Brown coming up with 39 yards? I actually had to go and look it up. That's the most yards he's had in a game since week 16 of 2018. Obviously missed all of last season, but he's finding a little bit of a role in the offense.
I agree, and yet every time he gets the ball in his hands, he's the way that he moves, I'm like, you do know what you're supposed to do at this point, right? Am I wrong there?
Towards the end zone, not the sideline. Like, right. Up the field. But still, I mean, it is nice to see, and you're right. It's not always pretty, and I'm still early in the season when Alan Lazard was going deep all the time. It seemed like every third play he was catching a deep ball. The biggest obstacle seemed to be getting in his own way, like tripping over the 15-yard line or something like that. I get that feeling with every single step that Equanimeous St. Brown seems to take right now. Like, is this going to be the step where he turns it upfield and takes it in for a touchdown, or is he going to get lost between the 25 and the 24-yard line on his way to the sideline when he should be going up the field? It's an adventure.
It's an adventure. Speaking of an adventure, I feel like the Robert Tonyan experience has been an adventure over the last few years, and we have our guys that we talk about on our show. He has been my guy. He can't be anyone else's guy at this point. You can't adopt him, because now I think he is officially, he's gone from guy to dude to player. I think Robert Tonyan is a player, man.
I agree. And the play that's going to stick with me from this game, from his box score, I guess, is the play near the sideline. I think it was in the second quarter.
Oh, yeah.
He was headed towards the sideline, and instead of just allowing himself to be escorted out of bounds, he found Danny Trevathan and just drove him into the ground, which is something you love to see, because if you remember a couple of years back, he had that awful hit on Davante Adams that knocked him out of the game. So that is something you love to see.
Yeah, a guy who deserves to get hit.
Yeah, now and then. So I enjoyed that immensely, and I thought of you actually when it happened, because you are, I guess, driving the Robert Tonyan bandwagon at this point.
Yeah, the train. I appreciate that you thought of me, and I appreciate that you are joining me here late at night to recap, although the score doesn't fully reflect it, what was really a slaughter, 41-25. John, thank you for joining me. Any last words or final thoughts here as we wrap up?
It's always good to beat the Bears. Can't complain about that.
Always. And the Bears still suck. And with that, I think we are going to go to bed. John, thank you for for joining me. That is going to do it for us. 41-25 again, the final score at Lambeau Field. Like, subscribe, tell your grandparents, grab their phone and just like subscribe our show on their phone. And then, you know, it's, we get the numbers. They don't know what's going on. It's fine. I'm going to hit the outro music and that is that. Packers are back on track. They face the Eagles soon. That'll be a get even righter game. Hopefully we'll see later.